shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over radio station WWCR shortwave, 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz. That's transmitters 3 and 4. We're also being heard over radio station WBCQ at 7.490 megahertz. And both of those stations do have links on the web to listen live that way besides the radio station. You can also go to our website, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com, and go to the radio page and you'll see a live link there. If you'd like to participate in tonight's broadcast, you can call toll free 877-924-7722. That's 877-YAWS-RACE, if you'd like to remember it that way. For our foreign listeners who may not have access to toll-free numbers, they can call direct at 678-949-5091. I'll give those numbers later in the broadcast. I think our listeners may want to call in tonight because I'm sure everybody has an opinion on our topic tonight, which is the upcoming election, the candidates running for the office, and just the general state of affairs this nation is in. My guest tonight is the editor of The Truth at Last. He's a longtime patriot activist who has been reporting on the political and racial situation taking place in this country and worldwide for many years. I'd like to welcome back to the broadcast Dr. Edward R. Fields.
Well, thank you, Brother Mike. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Well, it's great to have you back. Certainly, there's a lot to talk about tonight. I don't think in all my years that I've been following politics since high school that I've seen the establishment press and the establishment politicians in such a panic. They're absolutely bringing out every bit of trash they can and twisting the facts and doing what they can to try to prevent Trump, it appears.
You're exactly right. And the Jewish Forward, which came out with comments on this race last week, stated that Jewish organizations do not like to support any candidate, Democrat or Republican, who is not part of the establishment. They do not want any outsiders or newcomers or people who are not controlled by the establishment. And they're just biting at the bit to find any and every way possible to defeat Donald Trump. He is the only one who's come out in favor of deporting all these illegal aliens, 11 or 12 million, building a wall that they cannot climb over. And also, another important subject is he wants to raise tariffs on products brought into this country to bring industry back and stop more companies. Ford has announced they're building a $5 billion auto plant in Mexico right now. And Donald Trump is the only candidate who's come out in favor of raising tariffs up, and he has suggested 30%, which I think should even be higher.
Well, that's the way that this nation was supported financially. There was no income tax prior to 1913, and it was supported by tariffs, which is the constitutional way.
Right.
I might add that it's also the biblical way. Christ asked, who pays the tax, the children or the strangers? They answered, the strangers, and he said, well, therefore the children are free. And yes. We should be free of taxation, and the strangers pay the tax. Actually, there yes. was a battle. I can't remember the candidates right now, but back in the 1800s, there was a presidential race, and one candidate said, let's lower the tariffs, and the other candidate said,
you're right.
let's keep the tariffs the same and spend the money. But that
well,
was
Teddy Roosevelt was elected. That was a red-hot issue in 1905. And he was elected president, and the main issue was he would raise tariffs. Everyone was in favor of higher tariffs. He'd raise them higher than anybody else. Now today, you never even hear the subject debated because both parties are in favor of free trade. They don't even talk about it.
That's right. And then, of course, it doesn't look like Trump will push the, what they call the military-industrial complex, which backs the Jewish interests as far as they make the war profits, and then our boys go off and fight their enemies. It looks
That's
like
right.
Cruz, who's a complete radical, is probably would get us into a war with Iran.
He is the most of all the candidates. He is more fanatically pro-Israel than Hillary Clinton.
Of course, I believe that all the candidates have sold out to one degree
yeah,
or another.
You're right.
You know, Trump didn't
you're right.
get wealthy without playing ball with them, and also, you know, his daughter married a Jew and then converted to Judaism, and
that's all very sick.
There's other things there, so everyone sold out. To
of course, that's for a lot of that's for publicity. Orthodox Jews do not believe in converts, and as far as they're concerned, Ms. Trump is not a Jew. You have to be born of a Jewish mother to be a Jew, according to Orthodox Jewry, which is their strongest religious group. So they don't recognize this. Like Sammy Davis Jr., that was a big joke when he became a Jew. All the Jews laughed about it. They didn't take that seriously at all.
Like I said, every candidate to one degree or another is sold out. And
yes.
As far as Kasich, he's just like a Democrat standing up there.
Oh, yes.
And Bernie Sanders is a Jew, although at least he opposes some of the things that are going on in Wall Street and getting us involved in some of the wars, but they don't even support their own in that case.
Well, in his case, I read the Jewish Forward. They do not support him. When the last two times that Netanyahu has been over speaking before the joint session of Congress, which he calls together, Bernie Sanders is the only one who walked out both times. Which is really funny. But the rest didn't have the guts to walk out. But he's kind of contrary and rebellious, and he's not under their control. They consider him not part of the establishment. So they're for Hillary Clinton, period.
Yeah. Of course, either one would sell this country down the drain, a socialist
yes.
Jew or,
oh,
or
yes.
Hillary. And there's talk that Hillary
right.
has Jewish blood.
Right. He was a member of the Socialist Party of America, and some years ago when he was in Congress, he ran and was elected on the Socialist Party ticket. Then the Socialist Party disbanded because all their members were joining the Democratic Party, and so he joined the Democratic Party too. But he was a member of the Socialist Party, and he was elected to Congress as a Socialist Party candidate. So he's extremely far to the left, but he does not support Israel as strong as all the rest of the candidates, except for Donald Trump, who said he would be neutral on the issues between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And the Jews are up in arms. They say you can't be neutral. You have to be pro-Israel. So that's another reason they do not like him. They don't want anyone to be neutral on the question of Israel versus the Palestinians.
Well, he also said that he didn't want us to get into the Iraqi war, and there'd be
right.
Other Mideastern wars similar, and he wants
yes.
to cut back on some of this foreign military spending.
Exactly.
I see that we have a caller from Manette, Missouri. You're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yeah, okay. I was calling about your statement you made earlier about strangers paying the tax.
Yes.
Okay, the reason the income tax works is because you are considered a stranger when you use a Federal Reserve note. because a Federal Reserve note is issued by a foreign corporation. The Federal Reserve is not a branch of the federal government.
That's right.
It's a wholly owned subsidiary of the international banking establishment. Now, when you use their note, you're operating as an agent of a foreign corporation, which obligates you to pay the tax under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And that's where the tax comes from. So if you don't want to pay the tax, simply quit using the notes. You notice that checks and money orders are all denominated in dollars. So if you stick with checks and money orders and coin, you know, there's billions of coin in dollar coins that are held by the Federal Reserve banks all over the United States for the citizens. Because the United States government, the Constitution requires that coin be provided to the citizens to use. So you can't be forced to operate as an agent of a foreign corporation. And that's how you do it. You use coin, or you use barter, or you use checks and money orders. Now, you have to be careful with them. If you want to go and cash one, like if you go cash a check at a bank, always write on the back of the check, cashed in coin, and then sign it. That way, if the IRS tries to use it against you, you can prove you weren't operating as an agent of a foreign corporation. As I said, right on the back of the check, you cashed it in coin. See, when the IRS takes you to court, they simply assume that you're using Federal Reserve notes. But they have to be able to prove that if you challenge that assumption. And all you got to do is tell the jury, make them turn it over and read the back of it. Now, if they don't have the back of it, that means all they've got is a copy. Copy can't be used as evidence against you if you protest it. You got to get the original check. I'm sorry, you don't have all the information you're required to have there. And that's how you beat the IRS.
I'd agree with you. And Bruce McCarthy, who's been a guest on the program several times, he used to speak on this subject. Incidentally, people might want to keep Bruce in their prayers. He's having a lot of medical-type problems. He's trying to solve it naturally. But it was difficult. Bruce did, for a number of years, just use silver coin and try to stay out of the system, but it was a difficult task.
It is, absolutely. But you don't have to use real silver coin. You can still beat the IRS using the government-issued coin, which is the gold and silver colored dollar coins that they issue now.
That's true.
Bruce, I've got all of Bruce McCarthy. In fact, Bruce has been down here to the church before, so I know Bruce, and I used to go see him when he was down in Smithville, Oklahoma. But and his whole thing was stick with silver and gold coin. But that's such a hassle for people. It is a hassle, but you can go to any bank, and if they don't have them, they'll order them for you. You know, I used to cash all my paychecks in coin, and they would order them in so that they have enough on hand every week when I brought my check in, I could get coin from them.
Right.
Now, there's also, the church used to have an attorney, and the attorney was always trying to prove me wrong on this. So she printed off one day from the official IRS website a whole list of all the different arguments you can make in court to fight the IRS that are going to get you convicted. Now, the two things that weren't on there were what I teach, barter and coin. Neither one of those were on the list. And I've been fighting since the old 79. Well, actually, I started teaching with the NCBA out of Denver, Colorado back in the 70s. In 79, they busted me. They threw me in jail claiming I was impersonating an IRS agent. I went to the federal grand jury and proved they were lying. I beat them right there. Never went to trial. I got a no true bill from a federal grand jury.
You're to be congratulated for putting up a fight like that, because very few people will do that.
That's the first federal grand jury I appeared in front of. I've been in front of a state grand jury and another federal grand jury since then. 9 felony charges, beat them every time on every charge. That's your first, if you're innocent, that's your first line of defense. You have to demand to see the grand jury. And all you got to do is send a letter to the court clerk requesting that your request to the grand jury be forwarded to them. Don't make the mistake I made last time. Do not send it directly to the grand jury foreman, because if you do, the prosecutor will intercept it and you'll never see that grand jury.
They also stack the grand jury at times. I'd like to thank you for your call. We do have another caller from Sanborn, New York. Nick, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. I'm Ken. I would like to know what your opinion is on Alex Jones' radio show.
I can give you my
opinion. You have to ask Brother Mike because I never have picked it up myself. Brother Mike might be able to answer that.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with the subject of dialectics, where the people in control both the left and the right. And on the mm-hmm. right, there's various degrees of teaching, various levels of understanding. And I believe mm-hmm. not that he's totally doing it consciously, but that he's at least being used because he always covers up any racial problem. And of course, he was married to a Jewess. And
okay,
one thing that I've noticed, we did clear up the issue once in an older broadcast a few years ago, but he definitely lies about Elohim City. I've been to Elohim City, and he said even recently on the air that Elohim City was controlled by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and that's just a lie, and I know better. But he does bring out some truth, too, so that's about all I can say, really.
Yeah, whenever the whole issue of Israel comes up or Israeli involvement in 9/11, he goes berserk. You know, he gets very testy on that kind of issue about the whole, you know, Israel situation with the Palestinians. You know,
yes.
I know there's rumors that he's supposed to be descended from a line of Jewish dentists and all that. Is that true?
I've never heard that, but I've heard him on the air admit that he was married to a Jewish wife who descended from Polish Jews.
Oh, really?
Okay. I didn't know that myself.
Yeah, I was wondering about his ancestry, you know, because he talks about being middle class, but I think he's comes from, you know, probably wealthy elite families.
Could be.
Really, Alex Jones, I kind of think he probably comes from a wealthy family, well-connected. Because
well, like I said, he brings out some truth, but if you throw in 90% of truth and 10% lies, it affects your listening audience.
That's right.
And at that level, I mean, some people are on the Fox News level or the Rush Limbaugh level, but, you know, his level's a little more advanced, but he acts like a jerk at times. He actually has some people working for him that are pretty sensible. You know, it'd be a better program if they were the ones doing the program.
Yeah, I kind of think so, too. Yeah, like they've got Joe Biggs and Jakari Jackson, I think do host the program better than he does.
Right.
And it seems like there's a lot of people that Alex used to have on the air, like Mike Rivero and Paul Craig Roberts, and there's this other guy, Webster Griffin Tarpley, who I really used to like. And, you know, they're just not on the air anymore, you know, with Alex Jones. You know, I just wonder if Alex Jones has had fights with him or what.
Well, you could probably contact Republic Broadcasting Network, and they can tell you a lot because he did have some fights with them, and there was a split there way back. So
Paul Craig
really
Roberts.
Qualified to talk on the subject, but I do thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye. There's so many levels that this country's being deceived upon. And the political level is people don't even know what's going on.
Well, a great danger we're facing right now is Obama trying to appoint Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court. He is Jewish, of course, as you know.
Yes.
And we already have three Jews on the Supreme Court, Byers, Ginsburg, and Kagan. And now he wants to appoint Merrick Garland.
We actually have four, all four of the liberals, because Sotomayor, they call her Hispanic, but her mother was a Jew. Her father was a Hispanic.
Okay. Okay.
So we have four Jews, and they all vote liberal, and of course,
all left wing. And if Merrick Garland goes on there, then they're less than 2% of the population. They'd be more than 50% of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. He's done anti-gun type decisions and,
right.
You know, just personal liberty.
Well, we're just one vote away from having the capital punishment banned by the Supreme Court, and one vote away from all sorts of communistic legislation which they're issuing. You know, Woodrow Wilson put the first Jew on the Supreme Court, Louis Brandeis, and there was all kinds of debate in the Senate and the House whether there should even be a non-Christian on the Supreme Court. They wanted Christians only. But Woodrow Wilson was able to get Louis Brandeis on the Supreme Court. Then they said, that's a Jewish seat. There must always be a Jewish seat. Then when he died, Herbert Hoover appointed Benjamin Cardozo to the Supreme Court to take the Jewish seat. And when he died, President Roosevelt in 1938 appointed Felix Frankfurter to take Cardozo's seat on the Supreme Court. And down the line, there's always been, since Woodrow Wilson, one Jew on the Supreme Court. But now, as you say, it looks like there's four, and Obama wants to put a fifth Jew on the Supreme Court. What this is the protocols coming to pass. The protocols. Let's face it. There's Jacob Lew, who's the head of the U.S. Treasury. His assistant is Jewish. And the head of the Federal Reserve itself is Janet Yellen, and her assistant is the former head of the Israeli Federal Bank. They brought him in from Israel to be Janet Yellen's assistant. So they're in charge of the Federal Reserve. They're in charge of the U.S. Treasury. The Jews are in charge of our money, what it boils down to.
For sure. And, of course, as you know, Ted Cruz's wife, Heidi, is the head down in that area of Goldman Sachs. And
you're right.
Goldman Sachs loan.
That's right.
As you pointed out earlier, he's done a lot of pro-Israeli stuff that's just beyond belief.
Yes, he's actually agreed with Netanyahu that there should never be a Palestinian state. Never. In other words, they're just going to be an enslaved, well, they already are, an enslaved people under 100% total Jewish rule, and it's been going on now for almost half a century, which is beyond belief. You think these liberals would be in favor of freeing the Palestinians? It's actually now almost longer than Stalin's occupation of the Ukraine.
It's like the movies. They couldn't get away with certain things in the movies years ago, even though they took over Hollywood early. But they'll just push and push until they get all the trash in that they have now. But if they get more control on the Supreme Court and elsewhere, I would expect some of these laws like they have in Germany and even in Canada where you don't have free speech anymore.
That's right.
They call them hate crime laws.
Canada is the worst if you hurt somebody's feelings. You can be prosecuted if you hurt somebody's feelings. Or they claim their feelings have been hurt by something you said. They can't even criticize non-white immigration. It's actually worse than Germany or any other country. Canada is the worst of all as far as so-called anti-hate or anti-free speech legislation.
Well, Merkel over in Germany, I've read of her Jewish background. You know, they do the same thing worldwide.
Yes.
And, of course, one of the biggest issues we have in this election, which we actually haven't touched on yet, is immigration.
That's right.
If they destroy our race, there's nobody to oppose their control because it's our race with our understanding that keeps the country free.
Right. Last year, there was a spike in illegal immigration, which almost none are deported. I think it's something like 86% of illegal aliens that come across the border are allowed to stay here. And legal immigration itself is 85% non-white. Legal immigration, which is like 850,000 a year, and with refugees and everything else, it runs up to over 1 million a year. This country is overpopulated. And that's one of the reasons wages are being held down and the middle class is being wiped out. All this competition of low-wage sweat labor from overseas, coolie labor, is what they used to call it. And they'll work for next to nothing.
Also, as Pat Buchanan's pointed out in some of his books and so on, that they change the culture. You know, even if they're relatively good people, they completely change our culture. We used to have immigration laws that reflected the founding fathers of this country, but now I believe it's only like 10 to 12% white legal immigration, let alone illegal. And it doesn't reflect the founding fathers, you know, Germans and English and Irish, Scottish, and so on. And,
well, you know, you used to be able to, we just passed Easter, you used to be able to go in the store and buy these chocolate Easter eggs for the children. And they've taken the word Easter off all of the eggs. You can't find a single children's Easter eggs, chocolate or other kinds, that say Easter eggs. This season it was just season eggs or colorful eggs. The word Easter has totally been abolished. And I read a small item in the New York Times saying this has come to pass because the manufacturers were afraid that it might harm the sensitivities of minorities. Now, what minorities would be offended by the word Easter eggs?
I know that when I was in school, they used to say Easter vacation, and then they changed it more recently to spring break, you know.
Yes, that's right. You're right. And, I remember that.
You know, and I don't even celebrate some of the holidays that have pagan backgrounds, but I realize what's going on. They took away Christmas years ago and put Xmas in the windows of the stores to mark out Christ.
Mm-hmm. And X to the name of Christ, right.
Yeah. I remember reading a few years ago of some singers in some mall somewhere, and they were singing Christmas songs, but it was like Here Comes Santa Claus and stuff like that, and somebody requested some of the Christian hymns generally sung around that time of year, and whenever anybody would do that, they said, well, we don't know those, you know, just so they wouldn't sing anything Christians.
Oh, it's nonsense.
Of course, it's all this Jewish influence.
Yes. They want to wipe out Christianity, and we sell a book for $6 by Henry Ford, written 96 years ago, in the year 1920, and he lists all the things that the Jews were doing to eradicate any public celebration of Christmas. And all of that's come to pass, everything that he talked about in the year 1920 in The International Jew, a book we sell for $6, a condensed volume.
Why don't you give out your mailing address and some information and for our listeners?
Okay, our 8-page newsletter is called The Truth at Last, and anybody who sends in a dollar or a self-addressed stamped number 10 envelope will mail you a copy free, and that's P.O. Box 1211, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Box 1211, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. And we have Ford's International Jew for condensed volume for $6, and it's a real eye-opener.
You also publish Behind Communism, which we carry your publication there. It's been a classic for years.
Yes, it sure has been. We have a new book that is a very interesting. It's a small booklet, sells for $4. The Races Are Not Equal, by Professor Wesley C. George. He was a college professor at the University of North Carolina. This book was published in 1963 by Colonel Archibald Roosevelt. He is the son of President Teddy Roosevelt. And he published a book proving that his father was a segregationist and strongly opposed to race mixing, and we sold that. But he also published this book, The Races Are Not Equal, by Colonel Roosevelt. One interesting thing about him is that he was the only military officer in the United States Army to be wounded in both World War I and wounded in World War II. And with his famous name, family, and he was a lieutenant colonel, he did not have to fight on the front lines. But like his father, who won the Battle of San Juan Hill in Cuba, he insisted on fighting on the front lines and was wounded in both wars. But anyway, he published this book, The Races Are Not Equal, and you can obtain a copy, 65 pages. You can obtain it for only $4. And that's, again, From the Truth at Last, Box 1211, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. The Races Are Not Equal. One of the best books. If we could get this into the hands of all the young people of America, we could put an end to all this race mixing, which is just destroying the white race. So, with all the help we can get in getting this out, again, the address is P.O. Box 1211, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. The Races Are Not Equal, for $4.
And we carry a lot of books exposing both the political, the Jewish problem, and other things, and specifically from a biblical standpoint, and our address will be given at the end of the broadcast.
Okay.
If somebody would like to join the broadcast tonight, I'll give out our toll-free number again, 877-924-7722. That's 877-YAWS-RACE. Or, like you said, our foreign listeners can call directly at 678-949-5091. One thing about Trump is that even if he is not as genuine as some people think he may be, he's repeated the issue over and over about the immigration issue and the building the wall. He's got the backing of the Border Patrol Union. And
Right. He
would have to keep some of his major promises just because he made them so emphatically. So, you know, that would be a benefit.
Well, he's a maverick. He's rocking the boat, and the establishment are having fits. I just read Pat Buchanan's column this morning on the Internet, and he says they're spending millions in Wisconsin to defeat Donald Trump. Millions and millions of dollars are being spent to stop him. And they're going to do the same thing in New York State, a state that he's from, and has a lot of natural support there. But they're just desperate to stop Donald Trump because he is not under their control. He reminds me of Huey Long. Huey Long was a lot like Donald Trump. And, of course, he was assassinated in 1935, and he was planning on running against Roosevelt in 1936, and he was assassinated by a Jew named Carl Weiss, a dentist in New Orleans. And the conspiracy behind his assassination has never been really solved. But Huey Long was a very great man. He was a populist and a lot like Donald Trump.
Of course, we have, through the years, had our great white hopes, and we've seen them all fizzle. You know, there was George Wallace and Pat Buchanan and
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, even. And just others. Well, in the case of Ronald Reagan, he wasn't really genuine. He was the one who got through the Martin Luther King holiday. And back in California.
He was a Democrat. He was a Democrat before he switched over to the Republican Party.
Back in California, he put in some gun legislation and so on. But He did bring some good people along with him when he went into the White House, and that very fact.
Right.
Helped in some ways, and I'm hoping
Howard Baker was excellent. The Jews fought him day and night, and he was one of the closest aides to Ronald Reagan, as was Pat Buchanan. So he did have good men in the White House with him, advisors.
We've got a couple more callers. The first one is John from Nunda, New York. You're on the air.
Yes, I was under the impression I had heard on several radio shows on the shortwave over the years that there was one billionaire like George Soros or somebody like that who owns all the voting machines. Do you know exactly which character this is that owns all the voting machines? Because I'm under the strong suspicion that there is quite a bit of election fraud, and I just wondered whether or not you knew who that was.
I don't doubt it.
I've heard
that. I personally don't know. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, well, it's one of them. One of them owns all the voting machines that are in use in this country. So I'll hang up, and this is a fact, and I think that needs some looking into.
Yes, I've heard that, but they're also openly trying to steal the convention, the vote.
Right. Right.
They're not even hiding that anymore. Caller from Arlington, Texas. You're on the air.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Ken in Fort Worth. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, I go by the Dallas Federal Courthouse periodically, and I talk to the guards and ask them if they ever seen those billions and trillions of dollars of bonds that Tommy Buckley used to have from Amarillo, and who were given to him by a guy named Edison Damanak. Anyway, I ask them, and I ask them if they see it. Anyway, I said, well, maybe Donald Trump will get them out now. Anyway, the story was that Tommy Buckley received these bonds from Edison Damanak from Indonesia, and he had them in a hotel room, and they snatched them except one bond that tore up the Shah of Iran. So he goes to the Court of Claims in Washington, D.C., court case 93-518, carrying in front of a Judge Diane Gilbert Weinstein, and it's hard to find out what status that case of it is. But anyway, so I asked him, I said, maybe Trump will get those bonds out of there. I hope so.
I write
Donald Trump for about a year now, and I hunt stuff on the internet, and I write on a postcard to hunt stuff, you know, like John Birch Society, American Free Press, RBN Live, InfoWars. I fill up the whole card and mail it to him. I guess he maybe flies on the airplane and reads my mail, and he gets on his internet and starts learning stuff. Because that's what panics them, is he's smartening up. You know that, right?
That's right.
Donald Trump could get a newspaper. He could get a television station and compete with him. I wish he would. Or get a blog spot, if nothing else. Yes.
Well, that's a good idea. I wish he would do that.
And he's got the money to do it. See, you know, over the years, they had the money, and then they taxed you so high that other people couldn't come up and start these television stations. And when somebody starts getting money in Froggy, they try to pound him in the ground and stop. You can see it's a conspiracy. I can give you an example. Mad Magazine called him a dummy. The Barron's call him crazy. He's uncontrolled.
Well, it's a non-stop smear campaign against Trump.
I think you need to realize that those of us who are speaking tonight, the callers and our guest and myself and others like us, we have an understanding, and I don't think that a politician will ever reach up to that level out of fear of the press, the other slander that's going to go on, and perhaps assassination. Like I mentioned earlier, we've had our hopes over the years, and they've fizzled out. Certainly, our only real hope is Christ. But I do hope that we get back to some righteous government if Mr. Trump would get in.
I'm gonna ask you guys both a question. What book, magazine, newspaper, article, video turn you from the left to the right? I'll give you a reason why. Gary Allen, somebody come in and says, I challenge you to read these books. And it turned from the left to the right. He wrote the book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. I remember that.
I used to sell None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Alan Stang. That was
right.
Wonderful.
No,
that's one of the best books ever published.
That was Gary Allen's book.
Oh, Gary Allen. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm asking you guys, what turned you to the left or the right?
Well, I'll tell you what turned me.
A friend of mine in Toronto House, they had a video I want you to watch, and he showed me an audio tape, and it was of Sherman Skolnick in Chicago. He starts talking about Kennedy and JFK and Rockefeller. I said, what is this guy talking about? And I wrote for his packet of information. I started from there, and I went to a John Birch Society a library in Chesterton, Indiana. I started buying books off the shelf, started reading.
Right.
I mean, what turns you from the left to right?
Well, my parents were very right-wing, and they supported Father Colgan before World War II and subscribed to the faith for social justice. And I really inherited from my parents.
Okay. You started out young.
They hated Roosevelt and Churchill, and they were strongly opposed to World War II. And I just took it from there.
Okay. How about your partner there?
Well, I started out kind of following Goldwater and his conscience of a conservative and reading None Dare Call It Treason and things like that, and which I consider very low level right now. And I know when I got to college, it was a Church of Christ college, I didn't know the Jewish issue, but one of the professors had in his file a copy of the protocols, and his secretary snuck it out and gave it to me and said, read this. And I read it, and of course he put it back in the files again after I read it. But anyway, that was my initial eye-opening to the Jewish issue.
Hey, you remember that General Walker had that?
We published the protocols now, if anybody would like a copy.
Okay. I'm gonna write you guys and see what you got. You remember General Walker? He come out with that Project Blue when he was in the Army?
Yes.
Edwin A. Walker?
Yeah, Edwin Walker.
Right, I remember
One day, they said, hey, come on back, we got a video we want you to watch when I was in the Army. And so now that when the Congress, they just take, you know, they have communists in Congress, and they show that, and I go, where'd that come from? I bet that was part of his project playing around. We thought, we watched it in the back room.
Okay.
Well, I met Dr. Walker many years ago, and Colonel Walker, and I think he was a good man at the time. Eventually, he was arrested a number of times in the parks and so on in the Dallas area, Dallas-Fort Worth area, for homosexuality. And Larry Lent, the former secretary to Joseph McCarthy, told me that he changed from being a real man to effeminate after he was thrown in the metal prison up in Springfield, Missouri. They
I
did
remember
various things to him, and they said when he got out is when he changed, is what Mrs. Lent told me.
Okay.
Are you wise to the push for a Constitution Convention in this country?
I'm not aware of that.
Back in 86, there were 32 states calling for a Constitution Convention for the Balanced Budget Amendment. And they needed two more states. And I joined John Birch Society down in Panama City, Florida. My coordinator came over once. We're going to have a meeting. Had a meeting. So we're going to see if we can get Florida to withdraw that call for the Balanced Budget Amendment. So I kept calling the coordinator periodically. He says, the night before, he was up in Alabama. They got Alabama withdraw their call single-handedly. And that was in 1988. In 1988, Alabama and Louisiana both dropped their Constitution Convention calls for the Balanced Budget Amendment. And since 1988, Randy Weaver, Twin Towers, Oklahoma City, 9/11, 440 gun bills in the House, you follow? All since 1988. Before that was Trilateral Commission Council on Foreign Relations and Bilderberg. Just, you know, the usual stuff. But then it's changed. They're mad. They don't know what to do.
I believe it. I've
heard various calls for a constitutional convention over the years, but I'm always afraid that they're going to push something besides what the Patriots want at that time. You know, the original Constitution was supposedly only to revise the Articles of Confederation, and they did change a lot of things. You know, they could do that again.
That's right.
All the Articles have been what now?
The Articles of Confederation were the law of the land before the Constitution.
All amendments have been violated, so if they come up with some new ones, they'll do that to them, too. It scares me to open it up.
We definitely need it.
They just obey it. Enforce it to obey it.
both parties claim that they're for a balanced budget, but they always appropriate bills spending billions of dollars for which the income is not there. So they borrow the money. They borrow from the Federal Reserve. In other words, they're printing money around the clock. And it's going to debase our dollar. We're going to have skyrocketing inflation, and the economy of this country will go down the drain if they don't stop it and balance the budget.
And I wrote Donald Trump, but I told him those bonds are in a Dallas federal courthouse. And he will get them out and send everybody $100,000 back for starters. How's that?
That's a good idea.
Well, we're going to stimulate the economy real good. Peter Lukoff, pay the house off, you know. It's easy to do. We'll do it. We don't need government help to do it.
I thank you for your call. We appreciate you
calling. My pleasure, John, and bless you guys.
You too. Good night. I don't necessarily have as much confidence as he does in any politician.
And no, I don't
especially
either.
Especially the Republicans. You know, they had the spending bill here recently, and Paul Ryan and stuff pushing through spending like Democrats, even worse.
Yes, yes. Worse than Democrats recently. Of course,
yeah, they're talking
most
about
recent,
if they have a...
It was almost unanimous for this current budget bill that went through. Both parties overwhelmingly voted for it, with all kinds of loopholes for the super rich, making the debt even worse.
Well, even the Democrats bragged that they won on that issue. And I'm afraid that if they have a contested convention, they might push somebody like Ryan to be the Republican candidate.
Listen, I wouldn't be surprised if Mitt Romney is the one that they pushed to be the... He wants it real bad. It's just, I heard one statement where he said, they'd have to draft me. Well, that's as phony as a $3 bill. There's no such thing as just a voluntary draft. It's organized by the upper echelons of the hierarchy in the Republican Party. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they end up drafting Mitt Romney again. In that case, Hillary Clinton will probably be the elected president.
It's an important election because...
Oh, yes.
If it doesn't go
She'd be in there for 8 years. We'd have 8 years of Bill and Hillary.
Yeah, and we'd have all the Supreme Court justices that were just really left-wing, pushing the immigration.
Yeah.
I mean,
like the Soviet Union.
Sanders and Hillary Clinton talking about basically open borders and welcoming Mexican invasion and the invasion from the Mideast and et cetera.
Well, she said as far as these executive orders giving amnesty to 5 or 6 million that Obama's proposing right now, she said she would greatly expand that. In other words, to all 11 or 12 million illegals. She has just recently said she'd go a lot farther than Obama. So it would be like Europe. Europe is being invaded at a rate of 7,000 a day for crossing the border into Greece. Do the same thing here, and she'd grant all of them citizenship and make them voters, Democratic voters, as fast as she possibly could. There'd be no way to get the Democrats out of the presidential office if ever she ever went in. We'd be under a one-party tyranny.
Well, there wouldn't even be the issue of immigration if Trump hadn't brought it up in the Republican Party.
That's right. That's right. The rest of them don't want to talk about it. You're exactly right.
We have another caller from Ord, Nebraska. Our time's starting to run out, but you're on the air.
My question is, what can you tell us about Donald Trump's religion?
About his what now?
He claims to be Presbyterian.
Okay, I don't know.
He's Presbyterian, and who was that kind of a modernist preacher he said in under him that used to, I forget what his name is now, kind of a social-type gospel. So it's not a... It's not strong, I'll say that.
Okay, thank you.
You know, there's a possibility that Jesse Ventura will be running on maybe the Libertarian Party or something like that. And he's I've heard him on the air a number of times say he's an atheist. And anybody that doesn't have a spiritual concept certainly isn't qualified to be running this country.
That could destroy the Libertarian Party, too. If they choose someone like that, that could be the end of the Libertarian Party.
I'm not saying that any of the candidates, you know, are a high level that we've talked about tonight, but probably, looking at least at the opposition, Trump is our best choice.
Yes, I agree. And in our newsletter, The Truth at Last, we have endorsed Donald Trump. The headline says, "I Will Build the Mexican Wall" by Donald Trump. And we outline his policy in our newsletter. And he's the only candidate I can see that we can support.
Might be our last chance
to stop a democratic socialist dictatorship.
Well, we're right at the end of the broadcast. Would you like to make some concluding remarks and give out your address again?
Well, thank you so much. Our address, Truth at Last, P.O. Box 1211, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. We'll send you our newsletter. We have the book that I was talking about, The Races Are Not Equal, $4. And we answer all correspondence. And I really appreciate you having me on the program tonight.
Well, I appreciate you being on the program tonight. If anybody'd like a CD of this broadcast, they can write us, or you can go to our radio archives page after we get the sound cleaned up a little bit, and it will be posted online. And our mailing address and so on will be given here in just a moment. So thank you again. Good night.
My pleasure. Bye.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.